I don't know what the name of this, but we will come to that in a minute. So with it being all age worship, there are some activities for the kids here. And I've also have printed out a few things for you guys if you want to follow what we're going to be doing. There's some. So I'll give a few bits. If you do want it, it'll do you good. Trust me. Yeah, just pass it along, my brother. There you go. There's some here as well. There you go. Oh, you can just pass on, and I'll give some there as well. Kids can also do this as long as they're with an adult. There you go. There you go. Right, you guys. Well done. Well, thank you again. Well, what we're going to do this morning is we as a church, we've been looking at Isaiah for this year. So what I thought would be good is go through the overview of the book of Isaiah, just to survey the book, what this book is about, you know, what are the key words, who was Isaiah, you know, where is Christ in the book of Isaiah, and look at some reflections on what Isaiah could teach us. So, you all okay? Good. Well, also we will be taking a communion in a while after this message, so prepare your hearts. And I'm so glad to see you all. Like the scripture says, going back to the Psalm 122, I was so glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. Okay, so let's look at this book of Isaiah. I don't plan on dwelling on it for long because we're going to take communion later. Okay, so if you're following me on that workbook sheet or a sheet, who was Isaiah? What is the book is about? Sometimes the book is called Isaiah. Sometimes the book is called the Book of Isaiah. And sometimes it's also called the Book of Salvation. And I'll tell you what salvation in a bit. So, number one, who was Isaiah? His name, I won't try to trip you up. I'll give you the answer. You can write that down on the blank there. His name means Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. Again, sister, somebody prayed there. The Lord has saved us from the sin, from this world that we are called Christians. We are in Christ, that we are partaking in his communion later. So his name, the blank one, is Yahweh saves, the salvation of the Lord. So yeah, what is salvation? It means God saving his people from harm. God saving his people from sin. God saving, preserving us from the evil one. And you can see in the scripture all along. So that is what his name means. Number two, Isaiah was a prophet. He was a prophet. What does a prophet mean? It's a person that God chooses to pass on his message. Like, what does a postman do? He takes the post from the post office and he brings to you. And the same thing with the waiter. What does a waiter do? He takes the food from the cook and he brings it straight to you. And that's what prophet or a preacher, all they do is that. Oh, that's what they're meant to be doing. That's what they should do. Is they're meant to give the people what the Lord has already given us in this word. And that's all we are here for. That's what Isaiah did. He was a prophet. And he was also called, the second blank, is a, well, some over the years, the scholars and the people have called us the fifth evangelist. You know why he was called the fifth evangelist? Because he talked about Christ more than anybody else in the Old Testament. The other four are, I'll give you the answer to that, if you don't already know. I'm sure you do. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But he was also called the fifth evangelist. Isaiah was a man of royal blood. What do I mean by royal? It means that he was not a common man. He was born in a very high place. His dad was the youngest son of a king. So I'm sure growing up, he had uncles, nephews, cousins from royal house. When they went to parties, it wasn't just common like me, but it was with the royal people. They will have had gold and silver while they were eating. So Isaiah wasn't a common man. He was a man of royal blood. D. Isaiah had a strong and a commanding personality. You see, in the book of Isaiah, all the way through, from his call and to and to the end of the book, God said to Isaiah, "You are going to go tell something to people that they're not going to listen to you." If you are Isaiah, and for the over 50 years of his ministry, and you are preaching the word of the Lord, and people just do not listen to you, how would you feel? You feel responded. I mean, I feel really disappointed when my kids don't listen to me. Like, I have to say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Imagine him. He was preaching for 50 years about the same message. Trust in the Lord. Do not sin. You know, come to Christ. There is a son. There's a Messiah that's promised that we can look forward to. But people weren't listening. That's why he had a strong and a commanding personality. The E on the first one, Isaiah was married. He wasn't a single guy. He was married. He had his wife telling him what to do, like most of us do. And he had two children. Isaiah was married, and he had two children. So yeah, there you go. That's a little bit of a little bit about who Isaiah was. So what is the key words and what is the key phrase in this book? The key words in this book are words like righteous. That's the first blank. Righteous, salvation, savior, judge, deliver, and comfort. I'll say that again. The blank one is righteous, salvation, savior, judge, deliver, and comfort. What does righteous mean? You know, for the kids, you know, righteous basically means that you are right with God. This is why I brought this today. You can help me. What is his name was anyway? Thank you. I was thinking he's a plumb line, but he's not a plumb line. I knew it. Thank you. But at least my son laughs at me. But, you know, we were building something at home as we moved recently, as you all know. And I was measuring this, and my son was asking me, who was helping me, Dad, what is this? So I don't know what the name of that was. So I just laughed at him and said, well, it just makes that you make sure the wood is straight so you're not building the bed or whatever else that we're building in a wonky way. You see, the word of God is like this. You know, if we are not aligned with the Lord, if our relationship is not right with the Lord, what is our spirit level? Thank you, my brother. What is our spirit level? It's the word of the Lord. Well, how do I know the Lord speaks? Well, you turn the pages and you read the scripture. That's how I know the Lord is speaking to me. And that's how I know that I can get myself aligned with the word of the Lord. That's how I know if I'm in Christ, I am free. If I'm in Christ, that I know I'm not like I'm not built in a wonky way, but I'm straight with him. Although I'm not right in my own self, but Jesus Christ makes me right with him. And that's the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, the Bible says, is a plumb line. It's the spirit level to our lives. So that is what righteous means. And savior, what a savior means? The person who saves you. The person who rescues you. You know, in kids, you'll know when mommy and daddy tell you, don't go to the kitchen, don't steal from the cookie jar or cookies from the cookie jar. But you do that and they tell you off. But then they also tell you that is wrong. Come, I'll teach you the good thing. And the same thing with older people like us. Imagine if I had a big debt that I have to pay to the bank. And then somebody comes to me and says, look, I will clear your debt. Well, why? Well, because I love you. Well, but why? Well, that's because, you know, you don't have the answer for how much he loves. That's what Christ has done for us on the cross, that he has put us right with him through his word and through his son, Jesus Christ, he has saved us. And that's what Savior means. And B, key phrase of this book is the Holy One of Israel. Holy One of Israel. That's the Lord God. The C, I've got three, one, two, three. What's the message? You see, the blank there is through God's judgment, he brings salvation. He brings us righteousness and comfort. So the three blanks there are salvation, righteousness, and comfort. Second point, only through Messiah, Christ, only through Christ will salvation come to all nations. You know, growing up in India, you have all sort of religion. You have Hindu people, you have Brahmins, you have Muslims, you have different religion. You know, they all say there's a way to heaven. You have to be perfect. We have to be pure. You have to do this. You have to go down into this river and, you know, immerse yourself 10 times to purify yourself. But what does the Bible say? If the only one way to God is Jesus Christ. Jesus is that door through whom we have access to the throne room of God. When we die, Jesus will, on that judgment day, he'll say, I know this brother, I know this sister, I know Amal, I know Liberty, because they are in Christ. And that's the same thing with you guys. When you are in Christ, you know that you're justified and sanctified. So, only through Christ, there is no other way, only through Christ. The last one is Christ will judge the whole world one day. Christ will come. That is the eager expectations that we have. One day that the Lord will come. He will take us all to live in the place that Jesus promised, that I'm going to go to heaven and we're going to build a mansion for us. And I can't wait. You know, I said to Liberty, I hope I die before her, because I just can't wait to be with the Lord. I know the Lord has tasked us to do things for us in our life. Each of us have a task. Not all of us are meant to be doing the same thing. Like Mr. Brooks corrected me this morning. There's a task and a gift that he has. There's a task and a gift that I have. There's a task and a gift that you have, that the Lord has given to edify the house of the Lord and to bless each other. So that's why we all have different gifts. So moving quickly, if you have the sheet, I put a little bit of survey of the book. What does the chapters 1 to 35 say? The open rebuke, condemnation of God to the nations who are not listening, who are not obeying the word of the Lord. And the 36 to 39 is King Hezekiah's trouble, King Hezekiah's prayer and deliverance, sickness and folly. And then the last 40 to 66. There's a really old saying. The book of Isaiah in itself is like Old Testament and New Testament. Okay? You have the first part of the book, which is all the way up to 39, is 39 books of the Old Testament, which talks about, well, in a sense, well, how they class it is, in the sense this God's judgment. But then they come into the 40, chapters 40 to 66, it's about comforting. It's about the Lord redeeming. It's about Messiah looking forward. It's about Christ. And it's about the good news of the Lord, the suffering servant that we looked at not too long ago, about Christ coming to save us. Not as a militant leader, not as a guy who comes and demolishes everybody, but as a suffering servant that we're meant to serve each other. No one meant to put anybody above the pedestal. No one meant to say to each other, well, I am more important than you. Bible actually warns us, if any one of you thinks that I'm better, let him take heed that you should stand, you know. And so in the church, there is no one thing is better. One gift is better than the other. We're meant to serve each other, like Christ himself served served us. Okay, guys, so I'll leave the survey of the book for you to look through. And if you do want it for any reason, just let me know. I can print some more. Well, what can we learn from the book of Isaiah? What can we learn? Only God can show us the true nature of sin. That's the first blank. Only God can show us the true nature of sin. No one else can. The Bible says that you can confess with each other. But again, like the spirit level, like the plumb line, when you look at it, when you feel convicted in your heart, when you think that, I have done something, the Bible says, come to Christ with a broken heart. No one is perfect. No one is expected to be perfect. Even the Bible says, bear with each other and forgive each other. Be at peace with each other as long as you're able to. So come to Christ. It says, only God can show us the true nature of Christ. God's defining characteristic is He is holy. He is holy. It says in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, it says in Peter, because I am holy, God says, you are holy. When you're in Christ, you are a new creation. You are holy. Amen. See, God does not like religious lifestyle. It's a form of godliness. I want to just dwell on this, guys. The blank is a form of godliness. We can portray a Sunday morning face. We can put a mask on a Sunday morning. We can show people that we're a Christian. We can try and impress people by the way we dress, by the way we speak. We may be doing everything right. We may be giving the lip service of a Christian. But at heart, we're not right with God. And see, that's what God says in the book of Isaiah. You may give lip service, but I don't like it because your heart is far away from me. Our minds are far away from Jesus. Our minds are far away from God. You know, John Wesley, this is going back in the 1800s when the revival was happening. I was reading a story about him. When he got saved in Oxford, he went to the States to go preach the word of the Lord, to give the people he evangelized about Jesus. But even then, he wasn't saved. Even then, he didn't know. He testifies himself, my heart was strangely warmed when he was sat at a church meeting, when the preacher was talking to him and the congregation about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he may have been brought up in the house, in the Christian house. He may have had Christian friends. He may have had Christian education. He may have gone to the greatest university in the whole world. But see, that didn't make him a Christian. What made him a Christian is when he said, Lord, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart. That's a joy. And you see what the Lord has done to who is willing and available. And He can do great things in your life if you're willing and available where you are, because God has put you in a place where He wants you to be. D, God always keeps His promises. You see, that's not D, that's E. But I'll say the E first, it's because I said it. God always keeps His promises. He's not like man, that he should fail His promises. When God says that He's going to do something, He will do it. Maybe it's not in our timing, but in His timing, He will do it. Now we go back to D. The fulfillment of covenant made with Abraham. You see, God has not changed through the ages. You look at the word, wow, there's so many years have gone by. Again, the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same God that we worship. God chose Abraham, and he blessed him. And it's the same God that we believe in. Yeah, my son says he have to listen to lots of times. Yes, Abraham listened to God lots of times. Well done. Okay, guys, we'll march through, and then we can prepare ourselves for communion. The key themes are justice, judgment, faith, salvation, Messiah, and hope. Those are the key themes in which the book of Isaiah was written. Where is Christ in the book of Isaiah? That's a really thing. At the heart of the book is Christ all over. Even Jesus says in the book of John, look at the scripture, for they bear witness of me. if you any scriptures you look at, you open it and you really ask, Lord, where are you in this? Where are you in my life? And you open the Word of God and you say, Christ is there when you read the scriptures. Where is Christ in the book of Isaiah? Christ is the Holy One of Israel. I put scriptures there. You can look back and see what Isaiah prophesied. It's fulfilled in the New Testament. In Mark 1:24, Christ is called the Holy One of Israel. That's what Isaiah said. Christ, our salvation. Matthew 1:21, Christ is our salvation. C, Christ, our righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Christ is our righteousness. D, Christ is our comfort. No matter what we go through in our life, Christ is our comfort. We can only lean on Him. Christ is our comfort. E, Christ is our judge. See, He bought us from the slavery of sin. And He exchanged Himself for us. You know, if we all imagine that we were in the slave market of sin, we all of us were tied with fetters to our ankles. We were sinners. And what Jesus did was break that, and He put that upon Himself. And He died in our place. He took our punishment. He bore our sins. Isaiah 53:5, for He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that was brought peace upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. By His wounds that we are healed. We're not healed by our own righteousness. We're not here. We're not justified. No one is going to look at you and say, wow, look at how good you are. They may, but in the eyes of God, that we're sinners. And that's why Jesus had to come and save us, make us right with God, reconcile with God. Reconcile is just basically saying, I'm going to put you right with God. That's the original plan when Adam and Eve were created. They were meant to have an harmonious relationship with God, and they broke it. And that's why Christ came to redeem us. And the book of Isaiah and the scriptures that were quoted in Isaiah were mentioned like over 50 times in the New Testament. And so, guys, as we come to prepare ourselves, look at Christ in the book of Isaiah and look at what did Isaiah prophesy? He prophesied about the coming Messiah. That was, if you were asked, well, what was Isaiah talking about? What was Isaiah telling the people about? Yes, he talked about being right with God, you will be judged by God. He did say comfort is in God. Yes, he did say deliverance is in God. But most importantly, he was talking about the coming Messiah, about Jesus Christ. And we are here because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And we are here because we are justified. And as we come to the table, and the kids are here as well, so I will ask that the kids would go sit with the parents, and because I don't know the kids' relationship with the Lord is, and upon their profession of their faith, and if they believe in their heart that Jesus is the Lord, and if you think as parents that they can take the bread and the wine, of course not the real wine, there's juice there as well, and of course by all means, because Jesus said, let the children come to me, but this, the table, belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to me. I can't invite you to the table. The table belongs to the Lord. We'll look at the scriptures in a minute. And see, this is an important as a reminder. The table is the Lord's, and the invitation is His, just as I said. Our sharing in this meal is sheer grace and does not rest on our goodness or attainments. You see, it is a great privilege and honor to preside at the table, and we are able to do so only because of the calling of Christ through His church. So, I think in a minute, my brother, you're going to sing a song. Let's sing a song. And I'm going to ask Eileen and her able assistants to help us serve the bread and wine. But before we do so, let me just pray for the word to take root in your hearts. And as we prepare ourselves for the communion, we do so with our hearts examined. We do so with our minds tested. And we do so with our conscience clear in Him and with each other. And you see, the Bible says that let the brother or sister examine their hearts. So, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the book of Isaiah, what he's talked about, what he prophesied and predicted into the future of the coming Messiah. Jesus, that you have come and you have died for us on the cross. And we know that you're going to come back again to take us to be with you in that mansion that you promised us, because your promises never fail. And Lord, we pray, we are sinners. We as a church, we come this morning and we pray, Lord, would you forgive us, Lord? And would you clean our hearts? Would you clear our minds, Lord? And would you clear our conscience, Lord? If we have wronged somebody, or if we have done anything to anybody, if we have offenses against us, may we forgive those offenses, like your Lord's Prayer says. Father, we forgive anybody who's forgiven us, and we also ask for your forgiveness, and we will be swift to ask for forgiveness to the brothers or sisters that we have offended. And Lord, may this word take root in our hearts. May Isaiah's words and the scripture about that you were pierced for our transgressions, you were crushed for our iniquities, the punishment brought us peace, and by your wounds we are healed, Lord. And even as we sing this song and as we distribute bread and wine, help us remember you, Lord. And let us examine ourselves. Let the kids sit with their parents, and we focus on our Lord. Thank you. Amen.